Sorry, say it again?
So she tries to push this knowledge of the good brain into the space. What does that integral over the integral over G, which you know, good brain and the
space? Yeah, so, well, good. So the analog of that, I think, is, I think somehow it's saying that if you integrate over, well, first, okay. So in this study of boundary space, in some circumstances, you don't have all these phases. But it's kind of like saying if you integrate it over all possible phases anyway, you get this instead. that's my picture of it. I don't know.
It's integrating all the.
Let me back up. He was asking what taking linear combinations of these things means in the boundary state language, and well, what it directly is some linear combination of boundary states, and in that subject. There are all sorts of constraints on what types of linear combinations make sense and what don't, and so on. Here, this one makes sense for the obvious reason that it's the world sheets just aren't penetrating into this region, and so this anomaly is canceled because there's no such boundary term. There's no such boundary on the world sheet. I would like to understand better the answer to your question and from more points of view, but that's the direct. All right, so we did this long detour of field theory just to get grounded in what this kind of physics is mostly about, which is this kind of time-dependent particle production effect. And now I'm going to go through, at some level, the calculations in string theory as well. And again, we're not, you know, it wouldn't be satisfying to simply appeal to this field theory analogy. String theory is very different. I don't know what it means to say everything gets massive in the theory of gravity, but we can use these techniques to analyze the string theory problem as well by, of course, using only those techniques involving the world sheet description, unless we want to get into string field theory, which we so far don't need to. So let's go back to the string case. And to be kind of simplest, as it turns out, I'm going to work in heterotic critical dimension. And then the Green's functions, the correlation functions, these are on shell a priori, are involve a path integration over all the degrees of freedom of the string, having fixed to conformal gauge. So we have ghosts, we have X naught in the game. Before doing any rotations, we just have these various world sheet moduli. And the ingredients that go into this path integral are, okay, first of all, let me explain my notation. We're doing heterotic, so we have 0, 1 world sheet supersymmetry, and these are, the details don't really matter, but just to be complete, we have these various multiplets in the heterotic theory. And by the way, the reason to do heterotic, we'll come to in a second. So again, the power of this and all versions of Liouville theory is that it's, of course, correct to define the path integral by putting in the semi-classical values of these ingredients. So we know the semi-classical action, even though we don't know, from a space-time point of view, how the tachyon ultimately gets corrected and so on. We know what to stick into this path integral. And by doing the x-naught-naught integral first, we can get a lot of mileage. All right, actually, let me just not write all the details here. So everything's a superfield. So that's the action. This is the heterotic version of a winding tachyon, where we've chosen the action of the Schirk-Schwarz to include some gauge action, so that the heterotic tachyon vertex operator just involves a left-moving fermion. This is completely for convenience. It can be done with, instead, just the usual Hagedorn-type tachyon if we wanted to. And, you know, we worked it out for type 2 also, but the nice thing about heterotic is that the, so as before, you know, at this level, this tachyon operator is appearing as a 0-1 world sheet superpotential-like term, and the bosonic potential that you get in components on the world sheet from this is non-negative, so that's the reason for doing heterotic. It's just integrating this stuff out gives us literally e to the minus 2 kappa x naught cosine squared. It's a positive potential everywhere in field space for the heterotic theory, and this means that these manipulations we do, where we notice that for positive values of the world sheet potential, the amplitudes are suppressed, that's just true universally for heterotic. I can say what I think it means for type 2, that it dips below zero, and we can talk about that, but I think I'll just be more brief than that.
This is after you integrate some auxiliary field.
Sorry, say again.
This is after you
integrate over
auxiliary field.
Yeah. I mean, you also get Yukawa terms and so on, but this is the bosonic potential that falls out. I'm just. Right. So that comes out of here, and then there's an F squared from the kinetic terms. Yes, that's where this is right here. Okay, so that's that. Now the other thing. So I want again. We get to just introduce the semi-classical stuff. So here we use the usual bulk vertex operators in the semi-classical limit, and also semi-classically the dilaton is just some constant that will take very weakly coupled, as we always do in string perturbation theory. In ordinary Liouville theory, the analog of this statement is that one takes at this same semi-classical level a linear space-like dilaton, but in this time-like case in the critical dimension, the analog of that statement is even simpler. It's that the dilaton is constant semi-classically. There's still a lot to do to see if the whole thing is self-consistent of the sort that I've said about making sure the amplitude is shut off in time. Anyway, this is the starting point. To define this path integral, right now it's a usual Feynman path integral with e to the I times the action and so on. And to define it, it's convenient to do a Wick rotation, and this will land us on some vacuum, and we'll see that what we do here, more or less by construction, lands us on this Euclidean vacuum that I discussed earlier. So we're going to rotate in the following way. And we can rotate these parameters this way. And we can also, we'll see why, we can also shift the linear Dilaton coefficient, which so far is zero, so ultimately we're going to rotate this angle gamma to pi over 2. This will effect a rotation to Euclidean space on the world sheet and gives us a path integral that it has the form of e to the minus, let's call it S Euclidean, where S Euclidean has positive kinetic terms. And notice that we have included in this rotation, when we get up to pi over 2, the rotation mu squared goes to minus mu squared, which is that thing that we anticipated in the field theory case, that we obtain this Euclidean vacuum if we do such a rotation. So we've included it here, and that's what we'll find, not surprisingly. So at this Euclidean level, we've got, as I said here, this positive potential, and the path integral is then well-defined in the sense that it's now not an oscillating integrand, but an exponentially suppressed one. Now, we've more or less said this, but let me mention again what these amplitudes mean. And this goes back to a really nice paper of Polyakov's, where he was thinking about a kind of Big Bang in string theory and how you would do it in perturbative string theory. And suggested that, suggested kind of the obvious thing for the interpretation of these amplitudes, namely, that in whatever state you pick, if you look in the bulk and you calculate one of these correlation functions, one of these S matrix elements, that this should give us the components, again, I'm interpreting. We have all these computations. What are they physically? And they are interpreted as the components of the bulk state of the system in the approximate, Fock space of closed strings, of, bulk closed strings. Let me express this explicitly for the two-point function, which was also studied earlier in the open string tachyon context by various people, including Gutperl, Stromager, Takinagi, and Shomaris. So the two-point function let me explain this interpretation in that context, allowing myself to use field theory language, but just to motivate this interpretation. So in space-time, as we discussed, we obtain kind of mode by mode a state like this, some squeezed state, and um, the more precise version of this interpretational statement is this, that this two-point function defined in this way with this normalization, if you look at this state, you can, you know, you see that contracting the state psi with the vacuum pulls out precisely beta over alpha. And again, you might just diagram this maybe a little loosely in this way. There's some time-dependent physics, and you can produce these states in closed strings as a result of that. And again, there's this putting together two of the things we said, this mu squared to minus mu squared continuation. What's going on here? We relate total reflection amplitudes in the continued case with which involve mixing of positive and negative momentum. To the Bogoliubov coefficients, which mix positive and negative frequency in the timeline case. So this continuation is very intuitive in this sense. And we use the fact that in this the Euclidean continuation, where we now have the spatial cosine Liouville wall, it's totally reflecting, and that's all we'll. That combined with the zero structure of the zero-mode integral is all that we'll need.
Similar to the one that bumped into the dark room, right? Because this is like sandy field.
Yeah, I expect it is similar.
And there are all these states which are localized to different cigar, all sorts of different poles. There are poles, like a Z poles. There are poles to the states which in this language I guess would be localized where it's wall.
Well, I think it is probably important to be doing the heterotic version here so that the potential is always non-negative, and if you add in the kinetic zero-point energy of the system even, it's really totally reflecting. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I agree there should be such a connection. Here, we're not going to go for the phases. We're going to just get the magnitude by the trick I just mentioned. And so to obtain the actual phases that come out, which sometimes you don't really care about in this context, but it'd be nice to make sure you have, you know, them, at least in principle, in hand. A lot more work of the sort you're talking about would be required.
But just on the technical side, there's no point function. But with the good stuff.
Well, let me tell you what we're computing and how. Like I said, we're not going to get the phases, but we're getting this trick. So my claim is that you know the path interval is now well defined by this notation, and now let's start computing. It's good that I've already said a lot of this at the level of the. I'm going to do two things for you. I'm going to briefly revisit the vacuum amplitude in this rotated version, and then I'm going to do the two-point function. And again, if you want me to slow down or speed up, just say so. So let's look at the vacuum amplitude again, and the only reason for doing this, I'm not going to go through any of the details. So just to say again, let's do the x0-0 integral first. And at the level, for most of the calculation goes through exactly as before, but there's an interesting addition coming from the choice of vacuum we implicitly made in doing this rotation. So again, we get Z say at one loop, it really doesn't depend on genus, is this free up to the scale factor evolution part times minus log mu over mu star, but now we've so far been doing it in this Euclidean rotation, and so the real part of this is what it always was, but we need to I need to assign is important. So we need to do this rotation in a certain direction, and what comes out with the correct size, which I can check for you if we were doing it step by step, is that in terms of our physical system with its parameter mu rotated back, there's still this truncation of support, but there's an imaginary part which appears from this rotation, and this is exactly what you expect for being in a thermal vacuum. By the way, the temperature here, the temperature we had found before in this calculation of the two-point functions was pi over kappa, and this is again a result that would appear if you're in thermal vacuum with that temperature. It's a pure state, so you can do half of the usual entangled state integral, but it's a shift in time. If we remember, this is the time volume that's appearing, and it's shifted by this imaginary part, minus beta over 2. Okay, so that's that, and then the two-point function is similarly analyzed. So first, again, we do the x-naught integral. And now we have some insertion. So we have what we had before, but also with the e to the I omega x-naught factors of the vertex operator insertions that we do in this two-point function calculation. But again, so this has the UE tachyon vertex operator contribution, and again, by doing the x-naught integral first, differentiating and then integrating, one can ascertain the mu dependence of this amplitude in, again, an essentially trivial way. So in the Euclidean theory, the Euclidean continuation, doing this zero-mode integral first leads to a two-point function whose mu dependence is like this. And then continuing it back, so there are two points we need. One is that it's totally reflecting in this spatial Liouville theory. And so its magnitude properly normalized is 1 in the Euclidean theory. That is the reflection amplitude here. The ratio of reflection to incoming is 1 in magnitude in the Euclidean theory. And we need to then do our continuation back. Mu goes to, I think I dropped an I. I'm sorry. There are I's here, so you see what's happening. And doing that, you can see that it will change this magnitude of 1 when we do this rotation back, it'll give us a coefficient. This is just some phase. It'll give us a coefficient of e to the minus pi omega over kappa times 2, because we have two of them in this amplitude. this is pi over 2 that we did, so there's no 2. Sorry. I'm a little disorganized here because we're going pretty long, but anyway, this is then identified for all these reasons with the magnitude of beta over alpha in the time-like case. And if you remember, this is what we got in the field theory case, so it leads to the same thermal spectrum, et cetera, et cetera. But our point being that we didn't make any mini superspace truncation. It's that, you know, this is really the string path integral. It's extremely useful to do it in this order, but it's faithful to the full string theory. Yeah.
Because people know now, say, the two-point functions of field theory, and you are not using that.
Right, that's what I was meant when I said I didn't worry about the phases. So this trick works to get the magnitude, because the total reflection is just saying the magnitude of this reflection in the Liouville continuation is 1. And I don't know that the phases are interesting. The phases are, you know, the main substance at the 2 and 3 point level of the, you know, the Zamolodnikov solution of Liouville theory. But for this physics of how the number of particles is distributed, we don't need it anyway, and this trick doesn't get it. So we get the magnitude using this, and the full string path integral would generate for us the right phases. We didn't do it, but it should be in there. Was that your question?
Partly.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's clearly more to do. At the level of higher point functions, there's the thing you can say at the level that I wrote down this system in its Euclidean continuation, you can look for places where it should diverge. And again, like in Liouville theory, we haven't done these calculations even at the level of magnitudes, but if you look at higher point functions, they can diverge in the bulk when the frequencies add up to 0. And this is from x naught going to plus infinity. And this is just the usual physical state divergences that you expect. Now, I should say, though, that there's a unresolved confusion in the literature on time-like Liouville theory, which has been studied also for the case of open-string tachyons. And in that case, you know perfectly well that the brain and anti-brain annihilate, and that is the right answer. It is going to go to nothing in terms of the open strings. But people have done a continuation there where they tried to go further and look at the three-point function, and when they continued back, they found some funny behavior that hasn't been resolved. And our continuation procedure was, although it gave exactly the same answers in the 2-point function and the vacuum amplitude, well, I don't think others did the vacuum amplitude, but anyway, we got the same 2-point function. We haven't gone and done the higher point functions explicitly, and there may be subtleties lurking there. I think it's interesting, since we landed on this different way of doing it, we were aiming for this mu squared to minus mu squared trick, and so our way of getting the 2-point function is quite a bit easier. You know, I have some hope that this prescription will help also with the higher point functions in detail, but it's an open question, you know, whether there could be some issues there. It's also related to the question of how you do string perturbation theory, being very careful about what vacuum you're in. And I'm not sure that that's been fully addressed in any of these studies. Okay, so let me just, because we've really been, I'm sure I've been taxing your patience, I can just say a few concluding words, which is that this is, again, a situation where perturbative string methods appear to be self-consistent. They give us these amplitudes, and in this nice thermal vacuum, it's a perturbative string version of starting from nothing and getting a bulk space. I find this fascinating. I think it lines up very well with all these heuristic ideas that have been around for a long time, including the continuation in the sense of moduli from tachyonic regimes to regimes where Euclidean gravity processes occur. And so the fact that we, in a tachyonic system, find a similar phenomenon of a kind of Hartle Hawking starting from nothing, I think makes a lot of sense, but it means that we can use string theory to analyze it. Perturbative string theory in this regime is an alpha prime process at heart. And so I think it's very interesting. Another direction we're going, again with Gary Horowitz, is black hole physics, which is another obvious application. And so anyway, I can go on for anyone who cares, but let me stop here for this purpose. I think I've reduced everyone to nothing.
No. Very interactive. Okay, well, let's thank you, Mike.